Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Well, it was a selling type of day. Probably not the way we really wanted to see the markets finish off. And for once, we kind of had mirror images between the livestock and the grain complex. We'll talk about some of these selling factors, the weather. And of course, as you may have joined us on our midday, we talked a little bit about China and the cancellations that aren't just happening to the U.S. We're going to get lots of details today with Mike Zuzlow. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics, and I think let's just start there. It's a selling day, and it just, I don't know, maybe it was along with the wet weather, just kind of had a depressing feel to this market trade.
Yeah, I mean, when we started out the day, Susan, I kind of felt like that we needed a reason to figure out a way, because the market felt like it was looking for a push to break free from the current trading range environment. And I would say, to your point, it also felt kind of heavy, and that heaviness was stemming from the wheat market especially. And I think we do have a situation now with today's price action where farmers can really see, I think, a lot better than they could maybe 2 or 3 months ago, how really important it is that wheat and the corn join up with the soybeans here and take it higher. Unlike 2023, soybeans were able to do a lot of upside movement without wheat and corn helping them. But this time around, we saw a really big change in the psychology again in the soybean bulls, with the export sales friendly. Probably the rains in the United States were a little bit more bearish for the corn because they were so desperately needed in some of these dry areas, which we still have a lot of dryness out there, but we're on the right track at least. And I think the same could be said for center west Brazil, where we're looking at maybe a little bit better chance in week two for some rains to hit that second crop corn. And so it seemed like the bullish price action from the South American weather and U.S. weather, also the export sales being better in the beans, really didn't last long because the wheat and the corn just couldn't stand up. And I think this is a really important dynamic to keep in mind for 2024, because if China cancels wheat and they're canceling from the United States and France and Australia, and they're also cutting back on their copper smelting because their smelters are at 10-year lows in terms of the processing fees that they make or profits that they make, we still have issues in China. And that we still have economic issues, and then we haven't even addressed the issues of the China-U.S. trade relationship in an election year. And so I really am looking at that price in soybeans saying, look, one of two things is probably going to have to happen here. Either the soybeans come back down to meet up with corn and wheat, or the wheat and the corn find some really strong support, and they help support the idea that no beans should be at $12. And I think that's really what producers should be talking about with their market analysts or with their broker at this point or whoever they work with. It's really a big profit compared to where we're at in corn and wheat, and we don't want to mess it up, especially given that we're right on the edge of planting here in this country.
So having the May contract sit below $12, how long do you think we could sit below that level?
I personally feel like that with the March corn going off about 14 cents underneath the May corn could want to pull back to fill in the gap that would be left from that expiration today in March. When you look at soft red wheat, it looks like it's going to go off at about 519 and a half in March compared to a 533 close in the May today. So there again, you've got about a 10 or 11 cent market difference between the now lead month May contract. And so I kind of feel like that the soybeans may have made an intermittent high here if the wheat and the corn don't come back around. And I think the other thing that matches up with the analysis fairly well here the last few weeks is the fact that we've seen the hard red wheat market remain in a structurally strong position. And what I mean by that is your hard red wheat March contract looks like it's going to expire at around 613 and a half. The May closed at 575 today. The July closed at 568 and a half today. That shows you an inversion for all three of those contracts, and that says either we have too little supply or too much demand, and instead of paying farmers in the supply side out there to store the crop, they're pulling that premium to the front end saying, bring it to us now. And so in all of this price action today and what I've seen last week and really for the whole month of March and February, it really does go back to we need a European wheat low followed by the hard red wheat because it's got the fundamentals underneath us still too dry in the hard red wheat belt and not a lot of rain coming, and then followed by the soft red wheat. And then if we get the soft red wheat, we've probably got a reason to rally because the copper and the soft red wheat tend to rally with one another and fall with one another. Well, yesterday we made an 11-month high in the copper futures. So it's not all doom and gloom. I'm really trying to focus on that soybean profitability because I'm not getting what I want out of wheat and corn yet.
You talked about the wetter weather, and obviously any sort of moisture at this point in all of our neck of the woods is very welcome. And there's some maybe controversy, questioning of the latest drought monitor. Some saying it's not as realistic to Kansas and Nebraska, but definitely is showing some situations over in Iowa.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I've talked to some client producers down in areas that were very, very dry last year. And in fact, a fellow stopped here just about a week ago from out by Hutchinson and in Salina area. And he talked to me about how they've been able to replenish their moisture pretty nicely at this stage of the game versus a year ago. And there were certainly areas that were drier, like out by Hayes. I went to the Eastern Colorado no-till conference not long ago and met some people from the Hayes area, and they said they've got some real issues in that part of the country. And so there are certainly areas in Kansas that are an issue, but I don't think it's as widespread as it was before in terms of a year ago. And so that winter wheat drought coming out today at 14%, I would maybe question the idea that it didn't change versus last week and stayed at 14%. But I think it is much better than last year at this time.
All right. Well, folks, stick around. We've got more coming up just around the corner. It is a Channel Final Bell right here on the Rural Radio Network.
A best of both worlds product portfolio is one of the aspects to look forward to from the new Channel brand in 2025. Here's Matt McGuire, new Channel dealer from Wisner, Nebraska.
With bringing in Fontenelle and Channel together, I think that our portfolios will also be second to none, especially on the corn side. It'll fill holes for both companies that customers may have seen there before, and I think it's just going to make us really rock solid on the corn side.
For more, contact your local Channel Seed Pro in Nebraska, Kansas, and Colorado.
KRVN.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As our conversation does continue with Mike Zuzulo. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics. And we were talking a little bit about about this weather, but I kind of wanted to loop back around to what you were talking about when it comes to this wheat market. And I know that winter wheat is starting to head out of dormancy, and so that's going to continue to be a close watch. Are we going to see the market start really watching those USDA good to excellent numbers coming out?
I think we should, Susan, but I would also say that this is a lot different than last year at this time in terms of the structure of the market. And I'm putting a lot of pressure on wheat and corn for reasons. And they go back to the supply demand. They also go back to the other commodities. And what I'll say real briefly is that we've got a 10-year low in stocks to use ratio in this world for wheat. CONAB's number for corn this week would take our corn world stocks to use ratios, if those 11 million tons were cut out of the ending stocks and we didn't change any other supply demand numbers, we'd go from the highest stocks to use ratios in the world since 2019 to a 5-year low in world corn stocks to use ratios. And so we're talking about really tight supply demand fundamentals globally. And when I look at that in the context of a new 2024 year high in crude oil today, when I look at it in the context of new record highs in Bitcoin, gold, the U.S. stock market, and then I see the inflation numbers from both the consumer price index and the producer price index this week, it really says that we have inflation that's embedded in this market. And traditionally, historically, it confirms that commodity prices and the value of commodity prices should be going up because of the cost of carry, because of the interest rates. But today's marketplace sees the high inflation, says the Fed's not going to cut rates, so they're not going to unleash that risky asset money out of the bonds, and they're not going to go out and buy commodities, and this inflation is an economy killer. And I sit here and I think to myself, you can't have it both ways. Something's going to have to give. So that's part of the reason why I put such pressure on this market right here, right now, and that kind of goes back and kind of answers your question in more of a a sideways mindset.
Let's talk about China, because I know that they have been in and out of the market trade with cancellations, and it's making headlines to cancellations not only to the United States.
That's right. And before today's reports of Australian cancellations, we were actually going higher on negative news. And, you know, talk about a textbook example of funds versus fundamentals. Why would they be doing that? Well, it's because there's other things going on, i.e., their inflation was hotter than expected. The dollar was breaking. Their currency was going higher, leading the Brazilian currency going higher. And that's a little bit of a secret sauce for me in terms of the analysis, and kind of a tease for someone to get a trial. The currency markets this year, I think, are going to make a big, big difference in our profitability on the farm. But I think China has two things. They have an economic issue we have to watch, which I'm not as nervous about that as I was 2 or 3 months ago, because I do see some green shoots, and I see their government moving, albeit slow, to heal some problems. But the U.S.-China trade relationship is a whole other thing, and I really liked a Bloomberg article that came out today, and the headline was, the second Trump term would spark a 3% dollar rally, Barclays says. And this is what I think the commodity markets and the overall markets and hard assets are looking at right now, is if we worsen our trade relationship, presumably on another Trump presidency, then that would create probably an environment where this dollar would be a safe haven again. And we may have to price that in even before the election. And so it doesn't even matter if you agree or disagree with that headline. It's what are the markets doing? And I think that's where the hedging comes back into play.
All right, reach around the corner to this livestock side. I heard cattle weights are up, not a lot, you know, 6 to 8 pounds. But that does add up across the board. And is that going to be a market trading factor as we wait for this cash?
I don't think the actual fundamentals, other than the weak export sales today, are really the issue right now. I mean, pork export sales down 24% versus the four-week average. Beef, a marketing year low, down 19% versus the four-week average. But guess what? China was the number three beef buyer and the number four pork buyer. I think the issue right now is just the timing aspect and not seeing follow-through and momentum. We've talked a lot about the grain momentum not being able to recover and turn around and get 2 or 3 or 4 days underneath them of a rally. I see the cattle market almost in the exact same situation, only it's so high priced. And so we went above the SEP highs in fat cattle. We didn't do it in feeders. Fats after day are now back below that high, and feeders on a monthly basis are now lower on the month. And they look like more and more on a monthly lead month chart, a double top. And so I think this is really where the fat cattle have upside potential to them, Susan, but I think they need the hogs and they need the feeder cattle especially.
The best way for folks to get a hold of you, Mike?
Best way is GlobalCom Research. It's GlobalCom with two M's, research.com.
All right. That has been today's Channel Final Bell. Just a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's a Channel Final Bell brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.